Hi, and welcome to MR Explorer, where friends Z Johnson and Christina Perkins get together on a regular basis to learn and explore different topics regarding the market research industry. Welcome to today's episode. We hope you enjoy. Hello, welcome to MR Explorer. I'm Z Johnson, and joining me is Christina. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Z. How are you?
I'm doing okay. It's been a few weeks since we've chatted.
I know. We always have all of these thoughts and feelings that, you know, it's okay. Do you know, it's just life. And I appreciate that both of us we respect each other's whatever we're feeling mental health wise or like physical health wise. There was one day that we were going to record and I really, really just could not do it. And, and then there was travel in there. There were all of the things. So
all of the things.
I appreciate it. I know that I appreciate your flexibility. I think you appreciate my flexibility. We appreciate our flexibilities. We're all doing good.
Flexibility. If there's anything that we have taken away from all of our experiences the last 2.5 years, it's be flexible.
Be flexible and appreciate that everyone else is starting to appreciate that too, which is really nice. And respect it, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Okay, Z, what are we talking about today?
So we're talking about a topic that came up. It's been on my mind, but it's something that I raised with you yesterday. And I was like, look, there is a part of me that is really hesitant about continuing to record the podcast because I kind of am experiencing an identity crisis and massive imposter syndrome when it comes to, am I still a market researcher if I'm working in an operations team at a tech company? Does that still count? Mm-hmm. Like, is my voice still valid in this space? Do I still have the credibility to come on to a market research podcast and record a market research podcast?
Mm-hmm.
So that has been very much on my mind. And I would love to hear your thoughts on it because you were talking about the fact that, you know, there's a lot of imposter syndrome in a lot of different aspects all over the place.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think it goes beyond just imposter syndrome. And I think it can be considered maybe something else. And I don't know what that term might be or whether it's a combination of terms. But I think that in any kind of discipline where there are so many different facets of the discipline, like market research, where you go between being in the weeds and executing the work that makes up that discipline, and then into roles that might oversee that work, or roles that might deliver that work, or roles that just consider that work, or roles that do what you're doing now and moving kind of into that more operational background sense. When you're in a discipline that is so multifaceted, I think it's natural to feel that when your career kind of shifts you into a different type of role where maybe you aren't in the weeds every day, to feel like, oh no, like, what am I doing? Or can I still be this person? Or can I still call myself this? And I think that you are the only one that can determine what you yourself would like to be called. And I think that might be something that you're wrestling with right now. But I also think that there's a whole other way to think about this, in that it's not necessarily the different types of roles within market research, such as client side, where you used to be in the weeds, or a stakeholder that might be in product marketing or something like that, that is now taking the research when you used to do it, or something like a operations role. But I think you can also think about people that are feeling like this as they just grow in their career. So,
absolutely.
For example, when you maybe, and like I didn't start my career as an analyst that was doing this every day, but I got there. I did.
Yeah.
I worked, you know, I started pulling feasibility at a panel company, and then I went operations backside at a more of a tech platform. And then I went into an analyst role. And what I saw in when I was at my analyst role was the people that were maybe senior analysts, then directors, then VPs, like you kind of move more sales versus doing the work yourself.
Right.
Or considering different types of facets of the work. And I mean, I've heard this from people that have held those roles. I've considered that when I was in that role of, well, do I stay here and kind of grow in the ranks here? But as you grow, you kind of move away from the actual day-to-day of the research.
Yeah.
That when you're in more of a sales role, you're also growing just away from the research. So I don't know. I think that there's a lot to unpack there, but I would love to hear like more a little, I guess, about just like, is there something that is making you feel like you aren't a market researcher, or what, or I guess, what does being a market researcher really mean to you in the first place?
Oh, I love that second question. Let's start there.
Okay.
Because I think the way that I define a market researcher has a lot to do with why I find myself questioning whether or not I can still belong in this space.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I was actually reflecting on this a couple of days ago. I have long described the market research world as having like a very limited set of career paths within it, one being that analyst side. And I remember a few years ago, I was considering why is it that so many supplier side companies, you start as an analyst and there isn't as clear a pull through of someone becoming like really loving the analysis and wanting to make that the focus of their market research experience and pulling that through to become like the senior data analyst, maybe a like data expert kind of a person. And instead, it's like if you want to grow within the supplier side, it's more like you were talking about, you move into this sales kind of role, which takes you away from the analytics. And I remember, you know, postulating, why don't we have a better path for analysts? Because there are some people like that really love the data, love digging into the data, mining it for information, mining it for insights. And then there's the sales side for the supplier. And then on the customer side, when you're working for a brand and you're working in insights, there's a bit of managing your supplier set, managing the information, managing your stakeholders, but you're still looking at data, communicating data to your stakeholders that you might have within the brand organization. And I think in my head, that was kind of it. I had never appreciated, well, let me back up a second. I had also defined the market research discipline as having client side or brand side, supplier side, which I like calling partner instead of just supplier, and then this emerging tech side. So three different branches. What's interesting as I was reflecting on this the other day is I never once thought about the operational side, about the group that is necessary to define what is the role? What are you going to do in that role? What is the service level that you're going to be offering? How do you move up within that rank? What is it that you're going, like, what are your delivery times? What are your, like, just this, the operational behind the scenes, let's set it up so that there is a foundation from which the people who are doing the analysis can really succeed in their roles.
I have just been taking notes while you're talking. Like, that's what I want to say. That's what I want to say. That's what I want to say. And I couldn't hold back my finger pointing or my pen pointing at you when you said that. So I don't want to interrupt you.
No, go. I'm curious.
I already did with my pen. You just hit the nail on the head. So, and you don't know that you did it. The people, like, it is surprising. And so when you texted me this the other day and you were just like, I don't know if I'm the right person to do this anymore. One, I'm like, no, you pulled me into this when I said I wasn't. So no. But when you texted me why you were feeling a certain way about maybe not feeling like you were an appropriate person to be hosting a market research podcast anymore, I was like, well, clearly this is what we're talking about tomorrow. Like, you tried to offer about returning from maternity leave. No. No, you already opened your can of worms, Missy. It is shocking to me, not shocking, but I don't want to be your hype woman, but I will be because that's who I am. That, like, the people in the background doing the operational work is, you just said it, doing the things that allow the analysts to do their job better. If we didn't have market researchers by trade doing that, like, the people that are in operations that are being innovative, like, how can we continue to push the discipline forward? How can we make things more accessible? How can we make research better? How can we produce more insights? How can we think of different ways to deliver these insights? How can we tell stories differently? How can we do these things? And how are we going to make it accessible for our clients, our stakeholders, the people that are doing the research, like participating in the research? If we didn't have folks in the background that were trained or that had experience in this, there's no way that the industry, the whole discipline as a whole, could get better. We can't do that.
Here's the funny thing about what you just said, Christina. That is my passion. I think I even have it like on my, I had it on my banner forever, exploring the future of market research. Like, yes. The name of the podcast, MR Explorer, is, yes, because my passion has always been, and one of the reasons I love conferences like IIEX, are always pushing the envelope. Uh-huh. That is what makes me excited about being in this field. It's the idea of, my God, 10 years ago, we were not doing, we weren't even talking about surveys needing to be ones that you can take on a mobile device. And now it's like, that's the standard, and pushing and pushing and pushing. And that is, it's funny to hear you say it, because I feel like I just heard you say back to me things that I have said during interviews about why I get excited about this industry.
That's why when you texted me that yesterday, I was just like, Z, okay, like, I guess this is what I'm doing tomorrow. I'm just going to be like, Z, you're so great, because you are. Like, fine. You can do it for me next week. That's fine. I guess a different way of putting it, not that we need a different way, but it's an interesting way to think about it, is how many times when we are delivering insights, or not even delivering insights, but maybe trying to get a client or trying to establish work with a client or a stakeholder or something like that. How many times when we are going into some of those meetings, or when we see a product in a store or trying to engage with a type of software, and we sit there and we're like, God, like, why would they think that this user experience is the thing that they should move forward with? Like, haven't they talked to anybody that actually uses this? Like, did they develop this in a vacuum? Like, have they never left this building that they think that this is what we want? Z. So, okay, more notes that I took. Okay, you voiced You have told me when in your text, I don't know if I should really be the blah, blah, blah person that does this.
Right.
This podcast.
Yep.
The other way that I have also kind of thought about maybe in during this therapy session that you could adjust your thought process a little bit about hosting this podcast is maybe instead of saying or thinking maybe I'm not the right person to host this podcast because I'm not this person that's looking at the data every day and I don't have my hands in these data sets. I'm not delivering insights. I'm not doing those things every day anymore. Instead of thinking about it like that, where like, okay, well, clearly I need to not do this podcast anymore. Maybe you can think about the podcast in a different way in that the podcast is helping you keep your feet grounded in some of those day-to-day things.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Also, I don't know how to edit these podcasts, so I don't do that. You do that part. So you go, I go. I think this is fun most of the time.
I get a kick out of editing our conversations. It's really funny. There's something about listening back and just being like, oh, huh, interesting. That's how I decided to say that. Is it? Okay.
Maybe we
got that. You know, as you were saying that, I think there's also a topic that you and I have often discussed bringing into the podcast, and that is kind of what we were going to focus on this year anyway, this season, is the career development aspect.
Yes.
And if anything, we need probably, I would say in the market research industry, need a little more of the, what does it look like moving into these different roles? You know, I had never really thought seriously about operations as a career path in market research. The funny thing about that is if I go back and look at my LinkedIn history, like every time that I have been a market research expert, I end up in operations. When I was at Microsoft in market research, I ended up on the operations team.
You were in operations.
When I first joined
the tech platform that we were at together.
Yes. Yes. I was doing operations. When I first joined Microsoft, my first foray with Microsoft 11 years ago was operations. And so it was this revelation of, huh, not funny. I always migrate into an operations role.
This podcast.
Maybe there's something there.
This podcast is an operations role. This podcast is
totally
trying to talk about how to explore different facets of the industry.
Market research. Yep. 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 In a way that helps us further the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Like my. The best thing that I have ever heard is anytime somebody comes back and says, oh, Z, I listened to this last episode of MR Explorer and it really got me thinking. Like that to me is just candy. I'm going to eat it all up. That is amazing to hear. And I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's very operational.
The only person that has told me that they listened to this podcast recently happened this weekend, and it was my mom. I didn't know that my mom was my mom.
I love that.
But okay, so on that note, though, especially talking about the career development piece, I think that there is something else that you are also currently experiencing that is maybe also tugging at this, like, am I actually a market researcher now? In that your role has not just developed into an operational role, which I don't think would really be creating this internal struggle for you as much as it's also you are now a manager. You are a strategic
people manager.
Yes, you are a people manager. And
being
a people manager takes time out of your day.
Yeah.
where like it's not just that you might be in an operational role, but still thinking about like what research are these changes that we're talking about a product development type of role? Is it conducive right. to doing good research? You also are dedicating, and I hope you are because I know you are, but I had to say it.
Yeah.
If you are not a good manager unless you are doing this. You are dedicating very specific time to thinking about the people you manage, their compensation, yeah. their development. What are you doing that could make their lives better, easier, more productive, professionally, personally, all of the things? Like, and that also takes time out of your day that is not in the tactical day-to-day market research role.
And so true.
So I think that that's also like affecting, maybe, I'm assuming, it could be affecting how you're seeing things.
Yeah, it's being a people manager for me has been just an exercise in a lot of different things. One is my own self-confidence in knowing that I will be able to handle whatever my employees bring to me that are barriers, you know, whether that's a barrier to their day-to-day job or a barrier to their career development. Like, part of my job as a people manager is, in fact, I would say the main crux of my job is to remove those barriers. And doing that, I don't know, there are times where it feels a little bit like parenting in a sense, where like, I really hope I'm making the right recommendation. I really hope I'm asking the right questions. I really hope that I'm like gearing you, like helping you get to where you want to be and not just where I want you to be. Like, I hope I'm doing the best for you and not for me. Like, all of those questions very much come to play in this role. And then add to that the, okay, I can't be in the details anymore.
Yeah.
In order for me to be effective, I have to let go of some things.
And for them,
in order for my employees to be effective, yeah. I have to say no to other things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in order for, it's not just me being effective anymore. It's my team being effective. And it completely changes the dynamic, right? It just, there is a level of trust that you have to exercise. There is a level of detachment that you have to exercise. There is a level of enablement that you have to exercise in order for you to help your team develop the skills, exercise the skills, have opportunities given to them and sometimes created for them so that they can continue to develop in their careers. And there's been a lot more, you know, it's like I have read tons of leadership blogs and listened to leadership things and theoretically I have learned all about all these things. But there's a huge difference, and I think this holds true in anything. There's a huge difference between theoretical and actual, and putting those theories into practice. That's also been part of this journey, is just like, whew, okay, well, in the back of my mind, I knew all of this, but now I'm actually having to live it, breathe it, be it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very different experience too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, all of those things. And at the same time, just like, you know, we've been talking about in the operational sense, you are taking your team, and because of your experience, if you didn't have this experience, you wouldn't be able to develop them into market researchers.
Yeah.
And even in the operational sense, like, It is interesting though, because, you know, for folks that maybe start out more in an operational sense or kind of in the background as I did in like pulling feasibility and then going and being an account manager, kind of technical manager at a platform company.
Yeah.
I also, in the beginning of my career, thought like, I'm not a real market researcher until I'm doing the research though.
Right. Right.
And that is like a very interesting push and pull, but then you do it and you're like, okay, I'm a market researcher. Like, is there such a thing as being okay with like, I'm a market researcher by trade and moving into a different type of role? I mean, it is okay. That's
okay. Right. But we don't acknowledge it nearly often enough. I think we tend to highlight the people who are delivering the insights. And don't get me wrong, those people, bless them, need them. They are absolutely crucial. And we absolutely need to, I think, do even more than we currently do of lifting them up and promoting their abilities more. But I think it's easy to lose sight of everything else that helps them get to that point.
100%.
The trainers, the operation folks, the project managers, the program managers, the just this whole, like, you pull back the curtain and you suddenly see how many people are putting time and effort into making it possible for the insights person to deliver insights to their stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot. There's a lot of people.
And there's a lot of people. There's a lot of roles.
Yeah.
And I think they're all market researchers. That means you're a market researcher.
Big heart for you, Christina.
I didn't even have to try hard on that one. Like, that was just like... Okay.
No, I needed the chat. I think for anyone listening, I think they're as you continue in your career, I think it's helpful to know that you're not alone in questioning like where you're at, what you're doing, and what your next steps forward are going to look like. But it's all good. It's all part of the journey.
It's all part of the journey. And like, this is a, I want to say like, normal career path.
Totally.
And eventually, like, you will likely come back around and then weasel your way back into an operations role, because that's what you do.
More than likely.
Yeah. You'll come back to a technical role and then just slide your way just back in.
And be like, hey, you know what? You know what really makes me interested?
Doing all of this better. Let me go in the back end.
I have ideas.
Give me money. I think you should be proud of yourself. And I think that you should, I don't think you should do anything. I am proud of you. I hope you eventually are proud of yourself. And you can reflect and say, like, there's a reason why you excel in these type of roles, and knowing that all of your very tactical experience comes in handy.
Absolutely. Thank you, Christina.
You're welcome. We're going to record next week. And so we'll have two episodes popping out close together. I mean, I say that. Let me look at my calendar. No, yeah, I'm still good next week.
Okay. We still will have two episodes coming out pretty close together. I feel re-energized. Thank you so much, Christina. We'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks, E.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for listening to today's episode of MR Explorer. You can find us online at MRXPLORER, that's MRExplorer.com, or you can find us on Twitter and LinkedIn. Links will be in the show notes. Please like, subscribe, and we look forward to exploring more topics about market research with you soon.